Well, thank you, everybody, for being here, and I'm assuming you can all hear me, and I think you can. So I just want to start, like the last time we were together, we started with a little bit of a meditation. I thought that'd be great to start off again this session with a little meditation to bring us all together again. So wherever you are in the world, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes, and I just want you to start breathing and running your energy from the earth, the cosmic energy to your heart. And with each inhalation, just bring down the cosmic energy and up the earth energy. And out of the heart, with the exhalation, it goes down to the earth, and it's like a filter. Just running your energy, just very slowly, just to yourself, to the count of about six, inhalation, exhalation, six, inhalation, six, exhalation, six. And just start doing that. And as you become mindful of the body, we also become mindful and grateful of the body, becoming aware that we are spirits having a human experience, and as you do this, just connecting to God energy, to God source, the oneness of all, to your grace, you are God, you are that light. Just connect to your own grace, your own God, that brilliant light. Your own light. And it grows stronger and stronger and more powerful with each breath. Breathe it in.
Your holy name.
Divine Heavenly Parent, we thank you and bless you on this meeting today. We ask for everybody who's on this call right now to their hearts and minds are open, and you gently touch each person with their knowledge, their hearts, their minds, their knowingness, their truth, their power, that they're aware of their own power, their own light, and that in turn they may enlighten every single soul whose path they share. We thank you and bless you. And so it is. Take a deep breath and then let it go and slowly open up your eyes and be as one. Here we go. Okay. Wow, I love doing that because I feel we're all come together just in one feeling, one sense, and one connection there. Wherever you are, of course, you can do your own meditation with that and guiding you through the different exercises I've done. I know lesson five we're going to cover today, which is really incorporated a lot, a very important part of the course, probably the meatiest part of the course, I would say. First, of course, the psychic rituals, the daily psychic rituals, which, of course, as you know, they said to you in the video, I find very, very important. And the most important thing about the psychic rituals, I just want to mention again to you, is to really make it a habit. Try to make it a habit as best as you can. Every day when you get up, do the same type of thing, whether it's having gratitude, whether it's doing a ceremony, or whether it's some sacred work that you do, it works for you. Just get into a habit of putting yourself in that space, the awareness space, that really will help you. It'll help you so much to open up, to come into your power, and to really start seeing yourself as a soul having a human experience and not react as a human. You won't react as a human. You'll be kind of in control and in charge. So it's really important that you do that ritual on a daily basis. So try to get into a habit with that. Now, when you do your readings, I want to go also, I talked about in lesson five, when you do your readings and create your sacred space, I always find no matter if I'm working at home that there's an office or I work in an office, of course, I'm going to cleanse that space before I even start my readings or my work there. And I'm going to, of course, remember that it's a sacred space, it's a joyful space, it's a space of light, and that I want only the best for my client and the best for myself. And this room, this space that I'm going to create is really a space for the upliftment of the client. That's really something that you have to remember, that that's really part of creating that sacred space. Anybody who walks into your sacred space will feel a shift in that energy. They should feel the vibration shift incredibly well. Yesterday I was at a church, it was actually a cathedral, in the Midwest in Ohio, and I walked into a certain area of that church where there was a statue of Mary, and it was a special type of Our Lady of Consolation, really beautiful. They brought it from Portugal, and a lot of miraculous powers. Anyway, you sat in front of that statue, and you felt the energy, you felt the power. So you feel the power when you have a sacred space. So that's really what you want to create. And remember that when you work with the chakras, their energy point, their energy, it's your energy system. And if you want to see them as just the temperature coming up, sometimes I visualize it where it's just really just a thermometer coming up from the first chakra all the way up to the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and so on. And I really try to reference each one as far as a personal, not only a color or a musical tone, but a feeling for each one. So as I'm opening up that first chakra, running energy, the second chakra, I feel slightly different. There's a slight feeling, a subtle feeling of difference between those two energy points. Not a big difference, but a subtle difference. So it works very different for each person, and you're going to have to see what works for you. But my suggestion is if you have a chakra chart, that would be great to have it, or have the colors of the chakras in front of you when you're opening up the chakras, that's fine. And remember also when you're finished with your work that you really want to close down the chakra points. You really want, when you begin, it's opening up the doorway, opening up the sensitivity of yourself, of those centers. And at the end, you have a responsibility to close down your energy, drop the energy all the way down to Mother Earth. You're closing down. It does not mean that you won't be open to receiving energy from the top of the head and the bottom of the earth and the cosmic energy, but you're not activating it. You're not putting the impression there to receive. You're not doing that. You're shifting your focus. You're shifting your awareness. So you're not just staying there totally open. So that's very, very important you have that sense, that you close down when you close down when you're not working, and you open up when you're ready to open. I do not like psychics out there who are totally open all the time, not in control of their abilities. That shows me that they have not developed correctly and that they are not in control of their instrument. So you have to make sure that you work with opening up and closing down the chakra system when you activate them, and when you close down, you're closing them. That's really, really important. The next thing I want to talk about, I talked a little bit about this in the video four, about connecting to your client psychically. Of course, you can connect to anything psychically. It's a knowingness. The best thing, as I demonstrated in that video, was the heart-to-heart, because that person, your partner, your client, is someone you know. Now, when I say you know them, what I mean is there's an essence of them. They have a heart. They have a soul, and we are all connected as one soul. So you really do know them. So there's an aspect of that, and even a human being, they've had human experiences that you have shared as well. So you can relate to them. So just go in there knowing that you can relate to them that way. That's what I want to say. What else is there? Emily, do you want to throw some questions out now? Because a lot of things probably people want to ask me. I looked at the forum. I have some questions, but maybe somebody want to ask.
Yeah. Well, let's start with one person asked, what tarot cards do you recommend for the tarot reading?
What tarot cards do I recommend? Well, that's very, very interesting. My cards, of course. I don't have tarot cards. I would have to come back to that as far as the one. I mean, it's really, really up to the individual because it really is an individual type of taste. I've used the Toth cards, T-O-T-H cards, but I also think it's just individual taste because really tarot cards is just another tool of divination. It's just another way to open the door. So whatever the practitioner feels comfortable with is how they should try it out. That's really what it is. So if you're going to buy a tarot card deck, I would say definitely put out 5 or 6 of them, get the box and put them on the floor and see which one, put your hand over them and see which one draws you. Or you can even close your eyes and hold one and see which one feels good for you, which one does not feel good for you. That's a good way to start. So it's up to each individual.
Okay, so what speaks to you?
Yep.
So let's go to a caller. We have someone from area code 315-854.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you again. I've got a quick question.
What's your name?
Catherine from Oakland, New York.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Nice to talk to you again. Okay, so I'm a mental health counselor. I told you that.
A what counselor? A marriage counselor?
Mental health.
Mental health, right. Got it.
Yeah. So my question is, I see clients in succession rather quickly, one after the other.
Oh, gosh. Terrible.
Yes. Oh, gosh, terrible. It's terrible is right, because I work for a community clinic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I find at the end of the day I'm exhausted, and we know why, because I don't know when I have the time and the means. Well, when should I be closing down my chakras and when should I be opening them? Or do you have a suggestion for how to better protect myself so I don't take on everyone's stuff and bring it home?
Yes, my love. I can do that for you, and I hope you will follow my advice, because I used to do work with people in a one-on-one. I used to do readings every day, and I used to do 3 or 4 people. And I found out that if I didn't protect myself, I was exhausted at the end of the day. So the best thing you could do after a client, the minimum you should do is wash your hands after a client.
Now, I do that sometimes. Okay.
Well, I don't want it sometimes. I want it every time. Okay. Every time.
Okay.
The minimum you do that. So at the end, what you're doing is you say goodbye to your clients. You probably shake their hands goodbye, probably, right, or hug them goodbye. And
depends on the client, yeah.
It depends on the client. Well, you'll say goodbye to them, I assume. And they walk out the door, right? Is there a door?
Yes.
Okay, and you close the door, correct?
No, usually I walk with them down the hall.
Why do you do that?
Because I'm required to.
Are you really? Okay, you're required to. Okay, so you walk them down the hall, and then you let them out the front door?
Essentially, the front door of our office, yes.
Okay, so I suggest, is there a receptionist or someone there who's helping you with the next client then, telling you when the next client's going to be there, or do you go right from one to the other?
Well, what happens, either I get a phone call indicating that they're ready and waiting for me, and I go and pick them up, or I go and check and see if they're there to pick them up. So I pick them up at the same place where I drop them off.
Perfect. So what I would do is, this is what I would do. I would, before I leave that room, when you get a new client, what you want to do is you bring them into the room, and you sit with them, and you close your eyes. You can have them close their eyes, too, and just a couple of breathing exercises, which they would probably love to do, okay? And you can even explain to them, you come here with a lot of heartache and a lot of busy things in our minds. Let's just make the most of this moment, and let's just do a couple of breathing so we're here in the moment, in the now. Because when we're in the now, we get the best out of each other. So just do that with them. And think of that. That way you're educating them. That way you're setting up your sacred space. And that way you're also going to open yourself up at that moment.
Okay.
So it's like a zipper. So you're going to zipper yourself open then, okay? And then you create that space around you. Then you do your work. And when you're closed, and I would say, Kathy, really, it's great for you to do this, because I'm just saying, it's great if you do this. As you end your session with these people, you're going to say to them, and now we're going to close. Okay, however you close it. Is that enough from you? Are you finished? Okay, thank you very much. Let's just close our eyes again and breathe out. This is our moment. And breathe, and then you're going to close down. Do it that way. They'll love doing that with you. You don't have to necessarily go with the chakra point to close the chakras with them, but you can certainly do it with yourself. Remember, if you can hold a thought for 3 seconds, it's yours. So then you just start zipping up again. Zip it from the top down. Zip top down. However you want to do that. Now, so that's that. Another thing you want to do is when you – I think you'll be okay with that. If you need extra advice, extra protection, I guess you could say. I don't think you need to, but if you want to, just imagine that you're sitting in like a cellophane wrap around you, like the plastic wrap around you, so you can still see them, but no energy can be transferred.
I was going to say sometimes I envision a glass wall.
Perfect, perfect. Perfect, perfect.
I do that if I have a particularly client that has a lot of negativity coming from them, I'll do that.
Yeah, and you know, and also remember, I mean, you know better than I do in therapy, but remember if you take the energy, direct it back to them. Don't keep it yourself. Direct it back to them. That will really start helping things move along.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, use those things, Kathy, and let me know what happens.
I will do that. Thank you so much.
Be consistent, sweetheart. Be consistent. Don't forget to do this. You got to do it every single time.
I got to develop the habit. I will do that, and I'll let you know.
Perfect. Okay, honey. Thanks. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Emily, want another one?
Awesome. Yeah, James, do you actually have, like, there's a kind of an echo when people are asking questions.
Okay.
What do you usually do on your home computer? Do you have, like, the audio turned down?
I could call up the on the phone.
Do you mind?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I do not mind.
And just a reminder to everyone to press *6 if you have a question.
Okay, I'm here.
Perfect. Love it.
Okay, on next caller.
So the next caller is area code 775-287.
Hi, James.
Okay, but before we begin, so everybody that's listening, if you can try to intuit where the person is with just the area code, that's a great intuitive exercise. So I'm going to try to do that too. 775 is the area code. I don't know. Is it a rocky area?
It is. I'm near a rocky area.
It is? Okay, like New Mexico or something? No, probably way off. 775.
Nevada.
Okay. That's rocky.
Yeah, I'm in the foothills of the Sierras. So it's rocky to the back. So it's going to be great.
Great, okay.
Well, first of all, I just love you to pieces. So
thank
I have
you.
To say that. Oh, you're just such a dear heart. And second of all, I have a very easy question possibly.
Okay.
You know, after running energy, I love running energy. That's just so amazing.
It's great, isn't it? Running energy is really great.
It changes everything.
Yeah.
After you do that, do you also close down your chakras?
After you're running your energy, you don't need to. You don't need to, not unless you're working. If you're working, so you can run your energy, and you can. It's two separate things. So you can, it's two separate things. Running your energy isn't always opening your chakras and closing your chakras. You can run your energy without even opening the chakras. Okay?
Oh,
okay. So it's two different things. So you can do them together, or you can do them separately. So if you're working as a psychic, you can open yourself up the chakras and run your energy. That's fine. But you can also run your energy walking down the street or sitting reading a book, and it's like a fountain. So just realize that running the energy is like a fountain, and it's a fountain of light, and you're just cleansing away the old stagnant energy there. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to open and close the chakras then. But if you're working as an intuitive, then you do it.
Mm-hmm. That is so perfect. I am so, so glad I asked because I'm doing them automatically together, and I think it'll be a really great practice for me to learn to do it separately.
Do it separately and see how you feel.
Yeah, very cool. And again, may I add a suggestion for the other therapists, since that's what I also have been a therapist, is one of some things I would do between clients was, if it was really heavy, especially between couples, I open the windows and I literally had a piece of cardboard, and I would just stir the air up in the room and fan it out. Just physically clear the energy, and it worked really well. And I think that was, like, one of my favorites, but also I'm very visual and kinesthetic. So I would draw, and I would just draw a picture, just a very quick sketch of just like light beaming down into the room, clearing it out.
Yeah, what I do, sweetheart, is I also will imagine. So that's very good, great advice. I also imagine a golden sun filling up the entire room, and remember that Mother Earth is a magnet. So she pulls down, she pulls away any energies, any heavy energy she'll pull down into her to be recycled. So that's a way you can fill up that room with love and light and get rid of that energy, any stagnant energy too. Same thing.
That's beautiful. That gave me goosebumps. Thank you very much for that.
Okay, and nice talking to you.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
Perfect. So, James, we have a good question in the forum from Tina in Europe who can't call in, and she's wondering, she's an artist, and she's wondering if it's possible to read someone's by his artwork.
I read that. I read that question and thought it was great. And the answer is yes. So if you can just look at a painting, and you can definitely tune into that person's, remember, you're going to tune into that person's knowingness, their person's intuition, because the colors that they used for that painting or that print tells you something about the creator that did that, the painter that did that, the person that used their creative energy. So their mark, if you will, is left on that print or that painting. So it's almost like psychometry. You can actually feel and see the energy that they've used by various colors. You can tell about their personality. Even if it's, let's say, a dinosaur, let's say it painted a dinosaur, you can just tell, even though it looks like a regular dinosaur, you can tell the individual that did it just by the energy of the paint strokes, of the position of this dinosaur, of where, what the color, other colors that are being used. You can tell a lot of, it's a male, is it a female who painted this? So yes, you can definitely read that way. It's a great way to read. It's a harder way to do it. It's harder, but it really teaches you concentration. And it really helps you get deeper and deeper into delving into the clairsentient sensing, feeling. So it's a really good one. I like that one. So, yes, I'd say practice, practice, practice with that. Now, it might be easier for students also who have an awareness of art or of art painters and artists. That might be an easy way for them to read as well, so they could try it that way too. That's good for them.
Huh, interesting. So I imagine kind of like the coffee grounds, things will come out to you. Sort of.
That's
like
exactly right.
Grounds.
Exactly right. Another way to tune in.
Perfect. Okay, well, let's go to another caller at 703-725. It looks like Charlie.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Charlie. 703. I don't know. California.
Yes.
Is it?
No. It's the Virginia area code that I'm calling.
Virginia.
You
I'm off
there.
Virginia. Okay. Virginia. And your name again is?
It's Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, James. I have a question.
Okay.
I noticed that when I am asleep and then I wake up, that I have these visions. I see faces coming, you know, floating in the air. I'm not sure where that's coming from or what that's all about. So I know that I can see these visions, but I want to know what that is. And then I'm having a hard time creating a screen and having those visions appear on the screen when I need them. So any advice on that?
Sure. So, Robin, it's a very interesting question, and it's one that's been asked many times before in development. So you're not unique. I'm sorry to say you are, but you're not. I've heard it before.
Okay.
So when we start
okay.
opening ourselves up intuitively, is this the very first time you started doing this type of thing?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, great. That sounds like it. Because remember, as you know, their awareness is that you are part of a vast, vast universe upon universe upon universe. So it's kind of worlds within worlds that you're delving into. So part of you as a soul being, you are the soul is more out of the body than in the body. So that's first of all.
Uh-huh.
So 20% of who we are as a soul is in our human body, but 80% is on the other outside of that body. So it's in the ethers, if you will. So more of us is out of it than in it. And we are on different levels of awareness. We're only aware of the densest part of ourselves, which is the human part. Okay? That's the first thing. So when you leave this is just an interesting thing. When we go to sleep at night, our soul will leave the body. And many times people who are just about to fall asleep shake. And they usually will come. The reason why they're shaking is because their soul is not leaving the correct axis of the body, which is usually the crown chakra, the top of the head. So they come back in quickly. And then they go back out again. And they go very gently and softly when it's aligned correctly. Okay, so sometimes in development, I find, this happened to me as well, when I started developing my knowingness, my sensitivity, I would find that I was awake consciously when I was just about coming back in the body in the morning, And I would see things. I would see visions of things. I would see faces. I would see hands. Hands would reach out for me. It was kind of creepy. It was kind of strange. And I realized that, you know, there are many levels. There are many, many levels of awareness and many levels of evolution. So there are some, I don't want to scare you because I don't want not to be scared, but there are fragments. There are levels of beings who are you're just aware of when you're coming back in the body sometimes. When we go out at night, we go to a higher level. I don't know how to say it to you. So it's a higher level. The Bible says my Father has a house with many mansions. So there are various spiritual levels that exist. And you go to that level, which you're at. But there will be some beings that are on lower levels, not as much fragments or not aware as you are. And sometimes because you start opening yourself up and your consciousness, your awareness, you'll begin to notice that there are different levels around you, especially when you start coming back into the physical body. So that's something not to be scared of, but it's great that you have that awareness. Nothing can hurt you, but it's good that you have the awareness that everything's around you. Now, regarding this, are you okay with that, Robin?
Yes, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. No need to be freaked out. No one listening needs to be freaked out about that at all. I don't believe in evil, so I don't think that exists at all. I think it's pure love. I think evil is man-made, okay? Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. It's man-made. I think the screen, there are different ways you can do the screen. So if you have the screen over your head and you're just working on a psychic level, right? You're just working on a psychic level.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're really just working with your clairvoyance, correct?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So what you want to do is, if you want to just make it, I think, just you personally, Robin, I think you need to make it more fun.
Okay.
So I want to fill up that screen above my head or that stage above my head, or you can make it a window. You can have a picture window. You can actually make a room up in your mind, and you can have a window there, and that could be your intuitive window, and see what comes in the window. You can have it a cloud, and see how the clouds open up, and what images you get from the clouds. So what I gave was just a starting point in a way. So it might not be a screen for you. It could be a cloud. It could be a window. It could be a chalkboard. It could be a doorway, and you open up the doorway, and then you see your images. So try and work what seems best for you. Try to work on a system that you can relate to. The biggest thing I don't want you to do, Robin, is work too hard, because it looks like you're working very hard. You're trying too hard. And when you try too hard, you can't see a thing, because you're trying too hard. Because it's not in the physical. It's not. There are no prizes. There are no rights. No. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You're probably used, a lot of us here in this phone call are used to being right all the time, are used to having to get everything A's in school, B's in school, and this is really a no-brainer. So this will be a lesson, a course you're going to take, where there are no A's or B's. It's just experiences. And the way to really have the best experiences is it's really just opening yourself up and letting it be. It's kind of a strange thing. It's a subtle activism.
Subtle.
I call it a passive activism. So you can be aware, but have fun with it, play with it, you know, have the room in your mind, make it fun, and just see what happens. And the one thing I want you to notice, too, and the other calls that are listening here, when you're working with that room or the window or the cloud, and you do get an image that makes sense clairvoyantly, I want you to try to see what you feel when that happens. How does the body feel? How does your head feel? How do you feel? How does it make you feel when you see that image? And that feeling is really where you want to go to next time. That's the same feeling.
I remember you telling me last call, I told you about the lights I have in my room and the clouds and all. And you said to me, go through your heart, because I wanted to know what they were telling me, and tell me what you're feeling. And so I did that, and I felt love. That's
they
what
worked.
I felt.
Love is great. You also might get a feeling of, I might have mentioned this too, there's like you're opening up a pain champagne bottle, and it goes, boom, you know, that like effervescence. Effervescence is also a great feeling, because you're speeding up the energy, and the clairvoyance will be visions that are sped up. So those are the feelings you're going to have to start to feel. Listen, sweetheart, you might not have ever felt this before. You might not have ever felt this as you were a kid. So we're uncovering a lot of these feelings for everybody. And so it may seem foreign, but once you get into it again, it'll be like riding a bike. It'll come right back to you.
Great. Thank you.
All right?
Thank you. Yep.
Okay, Robin, thank you.
Let's go to 949-715.
I think that's Laguna Beach, California, or Aliso Viejo, or Mission Viejo, California.
Laguna Beach. And I know
I've got it the first time. Got it.
I'm so
that's because you're my neighbor.
I'm disappointed that you moved, but...
Well, I haven't moved yet. My house is for sale.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, great. I didn't know that. Well, that's
good. If you know anyone that wants to buy my house,
because
you won't.
I know exactly where it is. Beautiful
yes.
there.
It's a great house.
I know.
What is your name?
Okay. My name's Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. So I have a question about free will and things that are going to happen no matter what, and we can't change them.
Okay.
Illness specifically, like thoughts causing disease or mm-hmm. not dealing with emotions correctly and making your body out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I guess mostly that, but a little bit the exercise where you visualize very specifically everything you want to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know people who have lived really well and
mm-hmm.
gotten cancer young. I know
mm-hmm.
people who haven't lived well and lived to 104. And then, of course, I think we all know people who get sick, and you can point to something that's happened that they didn't, you know how to deal with as well as they should have and say, oh, that's it. And how do you live consciously with knowing that we have some free will but not blame yourself and understand the times that you can't change things?
Wow, it's a lot of stuff you're dealing with. A lot of stuff you're thinking of. So, number one, don't think so much. Okay.
Well, I think it's hard because I think there are people.
Well,
wait,
stop. Let me answer you. Stop talking. If you talk, you can't. If you don't talk, if you talk too much, you can't hear. So let me throw this at you. Number one, when you think so much, you can't be in the moment. And really what you want to do is you really want to start living in the moment, being in the moment. The past has already happened, and the future is yet to be. So do it that so we can just stay in the moment and make the most of this moment now. That's the first step. Now, there are different things you're throwing in here, so I want to go through each thing. Number one, as we come back into this world as souls, there are soul destiny points. And every soul is different. So there may be some soul who gets cancer at 10 years of age. There might be another soul who dies right after birth. Another soul's lesson might be to live to 90 and never be ill a day in their lives. And there are certain destiny points that souls have. Whether that has to deal with illness or other things that happen in life, that's up to that unique soul's experience. Okay? So that's one thing. But the other thing you're talking about, which I think is great, is you're also talking about such thoughts are things. Thoughts are real. So, like, James Allen wrote a book, which is As a Man Thinketh, and it's a great book. And as we know from many philosophers and New Age thoughts, thinkers, and books on New Age thought, The Power of Now, Esther Hicks talks about the law of attraction. It's really that. Is that the thoughts are energy. Thoughts are real. Thoughts are life. And whatever you give, the elements that you give to that thought, you will create. So if the energy can flow and the thoughts can flow freely, and you get into a moment where you're living freely the best you can and saying, well, and listen, we're human beings, so it's hard. You're not always going to have a happy moment. But you have the choice always of what you're going to do with that moment. You can say, well, that's too bad, and then move on. And you try to do the best you can. And the way I look at it like this, too, and it's helping me out, is I see myself as a soul, and I see myself as the human. The human has certain traits, and the soul has certain traits. The human can be critical, judgmental, sad, depressed, upset. And the human traits, that'll go. That's going to go. The human will die. The soul will never die. The soul is eternal. And I just know that my energy is flowing freely. And I know that I can't control other people in my life. I cannot control other people's situations. I can't control people. So why do I waste my energy trying to control them? Because then what happens is that I get a reaction, which ends up in my body, in my energy system, and so forth. Okay? I'm responsible for that because I'm in charge of my reaction of that situation and that person. Okay? So you have to be in control of how you react. Okay? Very important. So I also want you to know that your thoughts, you try to bring your thoughts to the highest level possible of your natural rhythm, which is love. Love is a natural rhythm. And as best as you can, try to see what the bigger picture is, or what is the lesson I'm learning here? Or, oh, if we just judge someone, say, oh, that's so-and-so. If we jump down to that, we're going falling down into a negative energy, into a fear-based energy, which is not our natural rhythm. Our natural energy is love. This is the opposite of love, is fear. And when you step into fear, you slow down the natural flow of energy. okay? And that natural flow of energy will get stuck, especially in the emotional body, if there are certain emotional reactions that we've involved in and we're not resolved with them and we keep them over and over again, let's say of anger, let's say not forgiving someone. That'll create an energy in that emotional body that stirs things up that blocks the energy from flowing. And if we don't clean that up and clear it and run the energy and forgive and love, eventually that will manifest into something. Whether it's dis-ease, whether it's some kind of illness, that will happen because that's what we are creating with our thoughts. See? So that's just something to be mindful of and awareness of. And it works better if you can do it every single day as far as living for the moments and how you decide to live for that moment and not jump into reaction, not being in reactionary mode, but really being in control mode, being in control of who you are as far as how you react to something, what you think about things. That's really up to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Great. So today is a new day. So just start thinking great thoughts. As a Man Thinketh, great book. You should read it.
Okay.
Okay. And some really good book. And As a Man, what is it, I think? Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Another great book. Think and Grow Rich. And it talks about how your thoughts should be rich thoughts and having anything in your life you want and have an abundance consciousness. Not a limited consciousness, but an abundance consciousness in every aspect of your life, whether that's love, whether that's material things, whether that's food, whatever that is. It's just opening that up to that energy, which we all are. We always have that. So God says yes, our egos say no. So we want to let the ego step aside and live in the yes.
What if someone is born and they are not supposed to have children, and they visualize all the time having children and they never get them?
Well, that could be a soul lesson. That could be a soul lesson that they're not supposed to have children this lifetime because maybe in another lifetime they abuse children or they kill children or something they did with children. They abuse that, and now they have to learn what it's like to be not with children. I mean, there's always a reason why. But
so no matter how much they visualize, it's not going to happen for them.
If it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But they certainly can be around children who they can adopt children. They can work with children. They can have children, not maybe physically, but they certainly can be around children and have love to children, share love to children. I don't have children. I love children, but I don't have children for the world of my children. The people I act with, you know, go out there and talk with and work with and teach, and they become my children. And I act like a child with them, and I find the child within them. And that, to me, is great. So that's how it works, you know. But it's not a punishment. It's an understanding. So think of it that way, too. Karma is not a punishment. It's an understanding. It's an awareness. All right, sweetheart?
Thank you so much.
Okay, Stephanie. Bye-bye, sweetie.
Bye.
Okay, Emily?
Okay. Let's go to 312-898.
312, Chicago.
Hey. Hey, James. This is Susan.
Hi, Susan. I was just there.
I know. We met at Unity Church.
I thought so. Hi, Susan.
Yeah, you did a very healing message from my father for me. It was just really marvelous.
Great.
A couple of things that I wanted to ask about. First of all, this is a self-paced course.
Yes.
And I didn't get to sign up until after I said in the room the other night that I want to sign up for the class, but I don't have the money. Then
right.
Poof, the money was there, so
of
I
course.
Signed up. So I've done the first two sessions, but everything else was locked. And at the moment, I'm getting ready to have hip replacement next Monday.
Yeah.
And so I'm like bedridden. And
okay.
I got to tell you that I've been listening to your books on tapes, and I've done some of the other smaller classes. And
great.
This sure beats watching crime shows on TV. So
that's why I did it. I couldn't take the crime show anymore, so I made it the class. Yeah.
Good, but you know what I mean. But I'd like to.
So sweetheart, listen. You could, Susan. You could take what you could do. You did the first two, which is fine. And then when
right.
you're ready to do the others, when you're healed, or you know, you can even do them when you're lying down. There are certain exercises you can do, having certain awareness. Don't feel so restricted after one this week. You could take it on your own pace. Go on the forum. Go on my Facebook page. Talk to everybody. Share things.
Okay.
Do it that way, and you know, practice on friends of yours. And don't worry, you're fine. It's a great time for you to just...
I have Skype.
It's just good to be by yourself, too, and just to work with yourself, heal yourself.
Well, that's what I've been doing. I haven't felt better in my whole life.
No.
And, you know, since I was a little kid, I was much like you.
Yep.
I always saw people in my room at night, and I'd talk to them. And, you know, I have guides, and I talk to them. One of my guides happens to be a dragon,
okay,
which is my main guide. And I didn't have any teachers when I was small, so I would just say things like, that rope seems going to break, and then moments later, the child that was on it would be crying on the ground.
Wow. Yep,
you know,
yep,
and
yep.
I outed two women in two separate occasions in front of their husbands about their affairs.
Right.
Which I just blurted out of my mouth.
Yeah, I've been
out.
There, done that one. I've had
like
that happen.
Vomiting.
Yeah.
It was like vomiting. My head didn't hear, like, it wasn't in my head, it just came out of my mouth. And I predicted one of my teacher's death, which really freaked me out. And so I almost, like, shut down and quit reading altogether. I had a friend who had breast cancer, and she asked me if she had breast cancer, and I told her no, because I didn't want to, you know, and... Anyway,
you're going to learn how to use boundaries. You're going to learn about boundaries with this, with the class, and you're going to learn how to use the power and not let the power use you, and practice over and over again, and you're going to be in a great position to use healing energy and give yourself time to rest. Maybe the universe is giving this time for you to just come back to yourself and get more powerful than you always have been. Just get in touch with your power. It's good for you, Susan. Well, good luck with everything, and you have the forum if you want to ask questions.
Oh, good. And I plan to take all your other two classes as well.
Yeah, then don't rush it. You know, it's there for you. It's there for you. So whenever you want them, you can have them. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay, honey.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, sweetheart. Good luck. Bye, sweetheart.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's go to 951805.
951. I don't know. I'm getting up north, but I don't know.
Hello, James. Actually, it's Southern California. It's a Temecula phone. It's like
Sacramento?
Phone.
No. Okay, Temecula. What's your name?
My name is Dale.
Hi, Dale.
And my question is on the chakra assignments. Today I was doing a meditation on chakras, and I was on my third chakra, and I remembered your assignment, so I kind of brought up the root chakra up to the third. And
right.
I got a very uneasy feeling. I didn't like it. Is that what you're looking for in the assignment? The
That's kind of- exactly right. You're looking for anything that comes up to the surface. So, you know, you start with the red chakra, of course, the first chakra. And, you know, you should really just see, write down also, Dale, write down anything you feel or get. And again, just you're being aware. You're observing it. You're observing what you're feeling. So there might be some. When you get to that third chakra, remember, you're going to be starting. The second, third, and fourth are the most emotional centers of your body. So you're going to start, really the second into the third, there might be some real strong stuff coming up there. You know, it starts with the sexual stuff, the emotion. It's the raw emotion. It's stuff from childhood. It's stuff from relationships with other people. It's a sense of self, how you believe in yourself. It's self-empowerment. It's your own power of self. It's knowingness of self. It's trust of self when you get to that third chakra. So it's all about trusting your feelings, going with your gut. It's going to be hard, too, sometimes because you might have been raised to think, you know, might have been raised to use the left brain instead of the right brain. So a lot of that stuff's going to come out, right? So a lot of that analytical, critical stuff's going to come up. So it's just to see what comes up and let it out and not have it sitting there and just let it come out. And I say, you know, write it down in a journal, just start writing things out. And it's not going to happen also, Dale, just the moment you're doing this. This will probably last for a good 2 or 3 days because it's a process. And once you open up that door, stuff's going to start coming out.
Okay.
So
great.
Be aware of that. And that's it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're doing that. And the dam will open up, let me tell you. The dam might open up. So for everyone listening, too, the dam will open up sometimes. And you might feel emotional. You might feel unstable. You might want to sit down. A lot of different things come up about that. But just stay consistent with it. And it's the first time you've kind of maybe opened up this attention span, this awareness, this part of yourself ever. So it's a lot of stuff. It's, I don't know how old you are, 40 or something, or 30, but it's all that stuff locked up for so many years coming up to the surface.
Yeah, 50 years, yeah.
50 years, that's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff coming up to you. To be healed and to be in awareness. So remember, things can only be healed. The first step of healing is awareness. So they have to be first come into awareness in order to be healed. And if we look at it objectively and not emotionally and not with a sense of judgment, but look at, okay, what did I learn from this? What did I not learn from this? How do I want to improve myself? What is the next step tomorrow? How will I live my life different tomorrow than today from these observations, from seeing these things, from feeling these things? Because you're going to feel things you've never felt before. Promise you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's all, to me, it's just part of growth and,
exactly right. It's part of a growth. It's like a plant that's growing up or a flower that's growing one you know, part at a time, one leaf at a time, one flower at a time. And it's worth it. It's a journey, and it's a process. But have fun doing it. It's not punishment, and it's certainly really not like a school. Like you have to, you know, they're not tests. It's just awareness and observations. That's all.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're very welcome, Dale. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to 602-391.
Arizona.
Yes, James, hello.
Oh, wow, good, okay, good. I knew Arizona was 602. Who is this?
Hi, James, this is Kamal.
Hi, Kamal.
Hi, so nice to talk to you, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
I think you may have already answered my questions. I'm just feeling into a lot of the answers that other people have been sharing. But basically, with me, I was never, ever intuitive. I got like a sudden awakening about 3 years ago. I do a lot of automatic writing and channeled writings, which are like very profound, pure poetry. Since I started doing the course, one, I started writing with my non-dominant hand. So I'd just like to talk to you about that. And secondly, as I've been going through the lessons now, I've been a lot of sadness, a lot of fear, a lot of heaviness is coming out, a lot of crying.
So if you can tell
me what's going on here, because the more I open up, the more I'm scared of being seen, because, again, I see things, predict things, all these kind of things, but I don't want to tell anyone. You can even tell now I'm getting quite nervous. So, yes, I want to get out there and really help people.
First of all, let me tell you.
People.
Number one, let me tell you something. Your soul would have let you take this course if you were not ready for it. You know, that the universe would not have presented this to you if you were not ready to do it. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number
mm-hmm.
two, what other people think of you is none of your business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you've lived your whole life caring what other people think of you, having to live up to people's expectations or people's ideas of what you should be like instead of who you are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So those are old tapes that are playing. That's old conditioning. You're not going to be the same anymore. That's the old you, not the new you. And life is all about growing and a newness and an awareness of who you are and who you're growing into. So the old stuff might come up, but you can't use it anymore. That's old. You can see it for what it is and say, okay, I learned from that. What did I learn from that one? What did I learn from that? And, you know, it's okay to be vulnerable. And part of this, you know, you're going to have to, when you do this, you're going to have a lot of vulnerability coming up. You're going to feel sensitive. It's not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. But you have to, like I told Dale before you have to be available to be open to seeing and feeling and objectively seeing things what they are, what you've been holding back for a long, long time. So you got to kind of clean up the junk, you know what I mean? It's like a psychic enema. That's the only way to say it. A lot of junk. And it might not necessarily be your junk. It could be someone else's junk that you've been holding on to for so many years that it'll no longer serve you. So when you said it first, you said, I've never been intuitive. I disagree with you because we're all intuitive. Since you were a baby, you're intuitive. We're born with a sixth sense. It's not something that just happens. We're born with it. But can we open up and trust it? And now you're in a space in your life where you can actually trust it. Yeah? So you're going to do that. And I would say less caring about the end result and being more involved with the process of it. Okay, I don't like you doing the thing with the. It's fine if you hold a pen or a pencil in the other hand. That's great. Using it from a different way. I would like for you to start working not with automatic writing, but working in another way. So whether that's working with cards, whether that's working with runes, whether it's working with the crystals, whether that's working with just someone's name, with pictures, photographs. I would like for you to just for your own self start exercising your mind in a different way. Because if you don't do that, you're going to start getting into a sense of a crutch of what you're used to. I don't want you to be used to anything. I want you to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that'll help you to grow and expand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Can I just ask you one question about the automatic writing? Because I've got like a three-ring binder full of writings, and it's all channeled.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to do with it?
That was my question to you.
I know. I know. I'm psychic. I know. So that would be good for your own growth. So let's say your higher self, your guides are coming through, and they're giving you philosophy, which is fine. If you can use that philosophy, and if it is real philosophy from the higher self, for the higher levels, the masters, the guides, teachers, great. If you can use it to empower yourself and make your life better here, great. And make the lives of other people better, great. But I think personally, you are good enough as a sensitive that you are more of an intuitive, that you could read people psychically, intuitively, instead of channeling that energy down that way.
Oh, yes, I can.
I know you can. You see, if you do the writing, it's one step away from you, you see. It dilutes you. It's a dilution. Okay. It dilutes you. And you don't want that. You want to be in control. So at first it seems, oh, gosh, I can't do this, or it's difficult, or it's scary, or fearful. No, that's just the human part of you talking. Your soul has done this for eons of time. You know?
Good.
If you're able to channel, you're able to read intuitively. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Sweetheart.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Take care. Thank you.
And use the school, too, okay?
Yes,
the form
I will.
In the school. Yeah.
Yeah, I will, actually. I'll show myself on that for once.
The form's going to be good.
Thank you.
So, everybody, I think that Emily and I were discussing it, and Emily, thank you very much for helping out here. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Listening, we're talking about doing a Facebook page. And, Emily, do you want to talk about that a little bit, maybe for the people?
Sure. So we're planning to put together a Facebook page, and we're looking at doing a public page, because we're going to eventually have a lot of students where everyone can chat, and, you know, regardless of what course they're taking, and you all can interact and ask questions and do readings for one another, and we'll get in touch with you with the link shortly.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, because I think the Facebook page I have now works really well, and I go on there all the time, every day. I put stuff on there, and I do interact with everybody. And so we thought that this open Facebook page really would be better. And for people that might be interested in it, they might come on there and ask questions. And a lot of you who already are students, you can help us and answer their questions, the fears or the inquiries they might have. Not sure what this is all about. You can help them. So I think it's a great community again. And one of the things, again, I think that the school has done is created such a great community, so I'm thrilled about that. So, want to take a couple more questions?
Sure, let's do it. Let's see, we have 310-256 Alex.
Alex, Los Angeles. I'm very good at reading area codes now. Alex? Okay, 310.
Alex?
Are they there? Alex?
Are you there? We'll go to maybe the next person.
Okay.
And Alex. Okay, we have Anonymous. Let's see if Anonymous is there.
Anonymous.
Hi, is it Kelly? Can you hear me?
Hello, is this Kelly?
Yes, hi. Sorry, finally internationally, so that's probably why it's come up as Anonymous.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from England today.
England, what part of England?
It's sort of northern England, so it's about an hour from Manchester.
Oh, yes, I know it very well. My friends live in Manchester. You know, Mavis Patilla. Do you know Mavis Patilla?
No.
Okay, she's a good medium up there, Manchester. I've been to Manchester just last year. I'll be there again in a couple of weeks. Okay. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm fine, thanks. I just have two quick questions. One is... I just want to ask about maintaining sort of your mediumship abilities and whether that sort of I know it changes over time, but I feel like some of my functions of that have changed a lot. Like before, whenever I used to travel a lot, I would find that I was always clearing areas and sending spirits of light in large groups. And sometimes I'd end up in a coffee shop and they'd all be lining up because they wanted to discuss, you know, different things. And then I'd send them up or they'd all be sent up as a group and I'll be clearing houses wherever I went, but I just don't have that anymore. I used to see them all the time, but I don't have that anymore. I still have all the communication with other species and crystals and things like that, but and different beings, but just that's fallen away completely. And I just wondered if that's normal. And if I started to do readings again for people, would I still be able to bring in their loved ones, or does it just, I don't understand, does it change completely, or?
Okay, so number one.
Clear
okay,
on how it works.
Okay, sweetheart. So number one, the school, this certified class is about psychic and intuition, right, which is a basic foundation for mediumship. The next course will be on mediumship specifically, but that being said, if you work with mediumship and you work as a medium, you want to have a very strong foundation of your psychic ability, yes, of your knowingness. The psychic ability, the intuition, is very, very different than mediumship, okay? It's a different energy. So think of mediumship as being as a psychic with power, okay? That's what a medium is. So if you work with your basic foundation and work with the way that I've taught in this class, which is opening yourself up and really running your energy and grounding yourself, which is something I think, Kelly, is very new to you, isn't it?
No, not really. It's just that...
You've grounded yourself before?
I don't know. I normally do that, but I do it normally as tree roots deep down, but obviously I didn't used to bring it all the way up to my heart chakra, which I've been doing recently.
Yeah.
But I've just been finding, because I found when I was in a relationship recently, that the last month of that relationship I completely shut down and I couldn't see, or I felt very disconnected, and I've been doing this course, I felt like I've become me again, and I've really connected, and I'm seeing so much more than I used to.
You will.
Yeah,
you will. Be patient with yourself. You will. So we're starting you differently, which is great, because you could have the past of used to doing it a different way, which is fine, but I'm going to just give you different ways of doing it, and it'll really work well for you. Now, if you've had some emotional upsets, it's going to get in the way, obviously, and that's okay, because that's life. But as long as you get through the routine, if you will, of running the energy and when you open up the chakras, when you're ready to work and close, that's perfect. That's great. And try your clairvoyant exercises. Again, not the way you're used to, but a new way of doing something, okay? The new way of doing something, once you get that down and you're able to handle a new way of doing it, then when we get to the mediumship, it'll be reinforced, and then you'll be able to, how can I say this, see it a better way, see more expansively, be more in control of the visions that you're going to get. So this is basic foundation for that. And then the mediumship will have more control with it when you get the clairvoyance, when you have the visions. How do you see a picture? What is the picture telling you? Can you walk into that picture? What is the spirit saying to you? Who are they? Why are they here? So there's going to be all reasons why. So what we're doing now is a progression. It's one step. We're setting the foundation, and we're taking a couple steps up just to run the energy and exercise. So it'll help later with the mediumship. You will be able to see things, but I think in a better way, and I think in a more controlled environment. So that's what it's going to be, a more controlled environment, okay? And you're going to be in control of it. It's not going to be in control of you. I'm not really one, this is just my own opinion, I'm not one to going into coffee houses and seeing dead people standing there. I have it, I've seen it, but guess what? I don't pay attention to it. Because I find if I do that over and over again, it'll drain me. It'll start draining me, and I start getting very lazy at that point. I become a lazy medium, and I become a lazy intuitive, where I just let my energy be very depleted. And I really have to be in control of this instrument for a long, long time to come. I've got to use this instrument for quite a while, so I don't want to just let it go, you see. So part of what we're learning here is discipline, is really honing it and working it when you're ready to work, and when you're not work, you close down. It's a discipline. So I just want you to start getting to that discipline. And enjoy the process. If not, it's not going to be something that's going to, you know, this is not a job. This is something to have fun with.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sweetheart.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. How about one more there, Emily? One more? Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's take out. Actually, there's a good question from the forum, someone in Belgium who couldn't call in, and she wanted to know if some people have better psychic abilities while they're sleeping, and how would you develop them?
You know, number one, I would say that's, again, a crutch, and that's just a reason. That's just I don't believe that. I think that, yes, because you're not in a conscious state, so you're not really, it's, again, lazy psychic work. It's using the subconscious, it's not in the conscious state, so it's easier to do dream work that way. You can do that, but I prefer to do it in a conscious state. We got to emphasize that every single person is psychic or intuitive or born that way, and it's up to us if we choose, to use it in the conscious state, to work it at the conscious state and really build it, build that power and work with it really strongly and open up to it and use it and do it in a waking state. It's really more powerful, and it'll help us better with our choices we make in life, because the more we come in tune with our intuition and that power of our intuition, we're able to know what the right choices in our lives should be. So start using
That's
it in
a good
the waking
point.
State. Yeah. True.
Okay. Well, we have one more caller question. Let's go to
okay.
them. It's Jack at 805-481.
Hi, this is Penny.
Hi, Penny.
Hi.
Or Jack, or whatever you call yourself, Penny. I know you're using Jack's phone number. I know, Penny.
I know. It's
the third time in a row, I remember.
Question.
Okay.
You said everybody's born psychic and you can work
Correct.
To build yourself to get your intuition more clearly so that you can live your life that way. But
Correct.
Can anyone be a medium, or is it just
good question. That's a good question.
Your...
It's a really, really good question, Penny. So what it is every single person is psychic from one degree or another. We're all born with intuition.
Right.
Okay? So, and that can be further developed, yes. Mediumship, everybody is born with the possibility of becoming a medium, but not everybody is a really great medium. There could be some very good average mediums, or they can get hits on things every once in a while.
Okay.
Everybody's different. So it's different than psychic. Psychic, you can develop that very strongly. But in my opinion is when mediums are kind of... It's kind of like everybody's born with the ability to play the piano, but not everybody's a concert pianist.
Right.
So for a medium that's really great at what they do, at their craft, they've got to have a sense, if you will, of genetics on their side, a sense of the power on their side, the power as far as energetically. They've got to have a sense of developing that part of themselves. And they have to just, I think they have to have that. But people can develop their mediumship to the level that they're going to develop it to. That's the best I could say. That's the only way to answer it. There's a scale, if you will, from, let's say, 1 to 10, 10 being the most incredible mediums ever, and 1 being, you know, not really much mediumship talent at all. And most people fall into averages of 4 or 5. You know, eventually they get to a 7 or an 8, but mostly 4 or 5, 6s, right around there. But that's fine to have that, because not everybody is going to be a professional medium. People can have an ability of mediumship and use it, but not use it as a profession, for instance.
Right, not have it as a job. Because
yeah.
it just seems to me like so many of the people like yourself and John Edward and some of these have had this ability since they were children that all this stuff has been going on. Maybe you didn't pursue it at that point, but it's been happening since then, and maybe some of us haven't had that. So... Or we weren't aware that we had it, if we did.
Well,
so.
You know, it's funny, because everyone's path is different. And John Edward, I know, and myself, we really were told about we would do this, and both of us didn't even believe in it. And Chris Caputo, same thing with her. She didn't really know about it until she started having things happen to her. But in this class, it's funny, because people that have taken this class, I know that everyone's drawn here for a reason. I just know it. And as far as the mediumship, which is very different than the psychic, you know, I teach classes all over the world, actually, and I can see it. I can see it with the colors around people. I know if they have the certain essence, if you will, the energy of it. I can become aware of it. It's in the auric field. I can see it. I can see the empathetic self. I think you can develop the highest potential you can be as far as your soul's potential. But
okay.
along with the mediumship, a lot of it is also part of being very disciplined and
okay.
being very, very developed, you know, sitting down and quieting the mind in development circle. And it's not something you can just take one class and you're a medium. You really
right.
got to live that lifestyle. And not many mediums do it. By the way, not every medium does that. And the results are they're awful readings. You see what I mean? So, you know, they're not giving spirit much to work with. So you really have to work on the temple of the self and bring yourself up in order for spirit to work with you. And the first part of doing it is the intuition, is the psychic self.
Right.
Okay.
Appreciate
All right.
that. Thank you.
Okay, sweetheart.
Okay.
Thank you very much, honey. Penny, we'll talk to you later.
Okay,
bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Okay. Well, everybody that's on the class, I just want you to know that the forum, continue doing that, and we will send you an email when the Facebook page is done. We would like to take a lot of suggestions as far as the Facebook page, maybe some designs of the Facebook page, or you want to write stuff in on the forum of what we can do. We'd love that, welcome that. We really do, because this is all about you. So, and any suggestions you have for further work stuff, that's great. And then we'll have a Google Hangout, I think, in a couple of weeks, right, Emily?
Yes.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. And we're just getting stuff ready for the mediumship next course, so just think about that one, too, you guys. And what else, Emily? I think we did everything? Yeah, everything covered?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, so I'm just going to close with a prayer. So if everyone's just going to close your eyes. Close your eyes. And just become aware again of your beautiful, beautiful energy. And inhale through six. And run energy to your heart. And exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Great. And just become aware of the heart. That's great. Just the heart. That you are light, beautiful light. The beautiful energy of light. May the light of the sun guide you.
Shine upon you.
Take every step in the light and share your light with everybody you come in, who comes upon your path. Okay, everyone? Blessings. Until next time, we'll see you in the forum. Bye-bye now. Blessings.